What's up? Welcome, my cold-blooded kings and queens. Welcome to episode 10. We're already 10 episodes in, which is crazy. Right now, I'm sitting with my bestest of friends, Mariam. Say hi, Mariam.
Hi, guys. I'm so glad to be here. I'm so excited.
She's my best friend, if you don't know.
And we're also cousins. Oh, my God.
Look at me talking. And we're cousins. And I love her so much, and she's Aww. With me right now.
That's cute.
Okay, so today we have a very exciting thing to talk about. We're talking about Jeffrey Dahmer.
Ooh, I know the story, but not with the details. Like, I know who Jeffrey Dahmer is, but yeah, not the details.
He's very infamous for very wrong reasons. He was a psychopath. Like, if you don't know the story, act like you don't. Listen for me. He's very disgusting. So if you like are like sensitive, or you're eating something, I wouldn't recommend eating.
It's a good warning, basically.
Yeah, it's a warning. My warnings, like, I cuss, and this is a true crime podcast, so don't listen if you are sensitive. And I wouldn't recommend eating anything in this episode because it's kind of gory.
Yeah. I really want to hear the story. I haven't heard it in a while.
Yes. Okay. So, Jeffrey Dahmer was born on May 21, 1960, which is a very fucked up year. Like, everything, I feel like, happened in, like, 1960s
really?
Or 70s.
I mean, 20th century is a messed up era, but
it is.
We don't have to get into that now.
Yeah, it is. We have our rambles.
Yeah, we do.
So, he was born in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, son of Joyce and Lionel Dahmer. So, Jeff, it wasn't your, normal family. Like, it was pretty fucked up. And the mother was just greedy and just always arguing with her husband, so not really the best relationship between the mom and the dad, which is, you know, every fucking serial killer has a fucked up house. So if you have children,
please don't fuck them up.
Yeah,
thank you.
We don't want fucking serial killers.
It's not that hard, believe me. It's not hard to fuck up a child.
Yeah, so just if you get a child and you're not choosing abortion, just don't fuck it up.
Yep.
There's therapy, you know, like, there's classes.
There's like, parenting classes, yeah.
So, like, don't fuck it up.
We obviously, this subject means a lot to us, obviously, so
yeah.
Just don't fuck them up.
Yep. So, the mother was also a hypochondriac, which, if you don't know what that means, it just means that she's just
obsessing over her health.
Yep, she's just very anxious about her health and shit like that. And she also suffered from depression and needed attention and spent all the time in bed. So, and the dad was busy in university, so both parents didn't give Jeffrey a lot of attention. Despite all that and his fucked up family, Jeff was a happy child until he had a double hernia surgery before his fourth birthday, which made him a very quiet kid. And
also such a young age to have surgery, brain surgery too.
Like, fucked up. So he became very quiet. And of course, like every fucking cliche ass murderer, he had a big interest in dead animals, which
I heard that the first sign of becoming a serial killer is killing or torturing animals.
So if you're a parent and you have a child and you notice any of these signs, you know, go check it out.
Yeah, I mean, like, if your child is torturing/killing animals, I think should be a big red flag. Like,
it's not normal.
Like, what do you think will happen next? Like, you will be next. Like,
yeah. So I've watched a
therapy is nothing compared to like, quote unquote, the shame of therapy. If you are like shameful of it, it's nothing compared to what they will do when they grow up.
Yeah, I've watched the episode on Chicago Med. If you haven't watched it, the episode about a child, and he was a sociopath, and the therapy doctor there picked up on it, And he was telling the parents, like, yo, your child is a little sociopath. So, like, do something about it. And the parents chose to ignore it just to keep their son next to them. Because apparently if your child is a sociopath, they're going to take him away from you.
Yeah, to a mental hospital.
Yeah, which is a good thing. We don't want serial killers.
Yeah.
But the parents decided to keep the child. And they were like, it's all right.
Basically, don't be selfish parents.
So, like I said, he had a big interest in dead animals. And he would collect large insects in jars. He would also dismember and store the parts in the family's tool shed. According to Lionel, Jeff was quote-unquote oddly thrilled by the sound bones made. Like when you rub them together.
I mean, by this time, if you don't know he's a serial killer, I'm sorry. Like, you don't need to be a parent at this point.
Like, just pay attention to what your children are doing in their free time.
It's very simple.
Yeah. So, in one time, Jeff decapitated the carcass of a dog before nailing the body to a tree.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And impaling the skull, and he put a wooden cross on the woodland behind the house. Like, right off the bat, Jeff has big problems.
It's not only, like, his parents being neglectful, it's also brain surgery. So, I don't think he was made in this world to be a very normal person. So.
Yeah, apparently studies show that, like, there people can be, like, a made psychopath and a born psychopath.
Yeah.
And I don't think the born one is, like, that the rate of, like, born psychopaths are not that much in here.
I definitely think society making a person a psychopath or a sociopath is a lot more common than being born one, because most people who are born socio or psychopaths, like, they have, like, their signs that show, and they have people that care about them, so they get them help as fast as possible.
Yeah.
But people who are made into socio or psychopaths are usually neglected, so they don't even care what they turn into.
Just like the Night Stalker, he was also talking about, like, how he was a made psychopath and shit like that. There's a whole thing about this topic.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it would be something very interesting to, like, look up in your free time or something. So... Okay, so in October 1966, the family moved to Ohio, and in December of the same year, Joyce gave birth to her second child, and Jeff chose the name David for him, which is pretty cute. So, in 1968, the family moved to Bath Township in Ohio, and during a family dinner, Jeff asked his father what would happen if you put bones in bleach.
Oh my god, this kid.
The father, though, didn't question it or anything. He liked Jeff's curiosity and showed him how to safely bleach and preserve animal bones.
Please don't. Please don't do that.
That's not normal, okay? Don't, like, show your kids,
like,
how to...
Even if it's just animal bones, like, why? Go play basketball.
Yeah.
I suggest being normal. Thank you. Continue.
Just don't show your kids how to bleach animal bones safely.
Yes.
Or they'll end up like Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yes.
Okay, so in puberty, Jeff discovered that he was gay, but he didn't tell his parents.
Mm-hmm.
And at the age of 16, he had a fantasy about making men unconscious and making sexual use of the body. And
great.
But he almost didn't act on it. Almost.
Oh. What happened?
I don't know. Chickened out or something. I don't fucking know.
No, what happened? You said almost. What happened?
Almost didn't act on it. Like, he would...
Did he act on it?
Eventually.
Why? Oh,
like,
true. We are talking about a serial killer here. I forgot about that for a second.
At the age of 16, he almost didn't act on it. Like, I heard he would, like...
That's great.
...hide in a bush and with a baseball bat, and he would wait until... And he would, like, stalk people.
A warning, guys. We're very sarcastic human beings. So when we say, like, that's great, we don't actually mean it's great. We just... Sarcasm.
Yeah.
So.
And he would, like... stalk people, and he would like, oh, I think this person jogging is like very cute, and he would like stalk him every day, waiting for the opportunity to like fucking beat the shit out of them and make like act on his fantasies. But he didn't do it at the age of 16.
Just trying to be normal there.
Yeah.
Failed though.
Okay, so let's talk about when shit hit the fan, you know? Yeah. But not literally, let's just like the build up to Jeff literally
the climax,
turning.
The rising action, let's yeah. go. Mm-hmm.
So, on September 1977, the parents decided to divorce because the marriage was toxic and Lionel discovered Joyce was having an affair.
Mm-hmm.
So, and in July 24th, 1978, so a year later, the divorce was finalized, and Joyce was awarded custody of David by the time Jeff was 18 and remained in the family home.
Who remained in the family home?
Jeff.
Okay.
Like, he turned 18, but he didn't move out. Okay, so Jeff committed his first murder on 1978, 3 weeks after his graduation on June 18th. Jeff found this hitchhiker named Stephen Mark, who was almost 19, and Jeff was 18 at the time, if you don't remember. Jeff approached him and offered him a drink at his house, and Steven stupidly agreed. Which, like, don't do that. Like,
well, like, okay.
I think have a drink at a bar.
Yeah, okay, fair.
Not someone's
fair,
house.
Fair.
And according to Jeff, the sight of bare-chested Steven, like, basically made him horny and like stirred his sexual feelings. And a few hours later, Steven wanted to leave, but Jeff didn't want him to, so Jeff so normally hit him 3 times with a 10-pound object until he fell unconscious. He then strangled him to death with the bare of a dumbbell, then stripped his clothes and masturbated in front of the corpse.
So that is, again, that's what she told you not to eat during this.
And this is not the worst part.
It's not.
This is not the worst part.
Unfortunately.
The next day, he dissected his body in the basement, and then he buried his remains in the backyard. Several days later, he unearthed the remains, and paring the flesh from the bones, he dissolved the flesh in acid before flushing the solution down the toilet. He then crushed the bones and scattered them in the woodland behind the family's home.
And he was very thorough, so he wouldn't get caught.
Yeah, he safely did it because his father taught him.
His father taught him.
That's what you get for teaching your children how to safely bleach bones. So, that was the first murder. Pretty disgusting, I think. What do you think about it?
I think he is clearly a psychopath. Because that was just... It was so disgusting.
Okay.
And it was so... I don't know what to say. It's just... It was horrible.
It makes you speechless.
Yeah.
I
don't know. Like, who in their right mind would go up to a person and just kill them and... Or, like... make them unconscious and then fucking, you know, masturbate over their dead body. Like,
Jeffrey Dahmer apparently would do it. So I think what we learn from this beautiful story, mm-hmm. It's not beautiful, I'm being sarcastic,
yeah.
Is that don't accept drinks from strangers. Like, you can accept drinks,
just
but, like,
have trust issues.
Yeah.
It's easier to have trust issues.
Yeah. Like, literally. But don't go to someone's house.
Yeah.
Like, if it's a stranger and you really want that drink, you can go to a bar.
Always public places. Always,
yeah.
Public places.
Always stick to public places.
And not because you're a man doesn't mean nothing bad will happen to you. But things happen, to everyone. So
this
just be careful.
So after this murder, he enrolled in Ohio State University after his father started living with his fiancée in the family home that Jeff was living in. But he then dropped out, and his GPA was 0.45 over 4.0, which I don't know shit about GPAs.
It's basically Like, I do. And obviously, the highest grade you can get is a 4, and the lowest grade you can get is a 1. So the fact that he got a 0 point is ridiculous. He didn't even try.
Damn. Like, your father is paying for your term. You should at least make an effort, you know?
Mm-hmm. Or for yourself.
Yeah, and or for yourself. Like, do
if
it
you're gonna
yourself.
Be a serial killer, at least be like a smart educated one. Yeah. Like,
have you ever heard of Ted Bundy? So he joined the army and trained as a medical specialist, which is huge red flag. They wouldn't know that he's a serial killer, obviously.
Yeah.
But like, he's training as a medical specialist, which is fucked up.
In the army, full of men, so
bad.
So not exactly, and women, obviously. I just mean, he's gay. So.
And then he was deployed to Germany, but later he was deemed unsuitable for military service, and was discharged because he was an alcoholic and he just fucking drank 24/7, which is. If you didn't know, is you can't do that militarily shit, so, like, don't do it. So, but thank God he was discharged. We don't want him knowing more medical knowledge than he
exactly.
already does. Like,
yeah.
He fucking killed people with this medical knowledge of his.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's great. He then rented a room in a motel in Miami Beach, Florida. Not wanting to face his father after what he did, which is understandable because, like, he got kicked out of the army and worked at a sandwich shop until he phoned his father to live with him in Ohio because he couldn't take care of himself anymore. He was still an alcoholic.
Another trait of psychopaths is that they cannot hold a job because they're so dysfunctional. Or a sociopath, I'm not really sure, but usually any serial killers, they just can't hold jobs or anything that's productive because they're so dysfunctional.
Yeah, like, they have fucked up shit in their heads.
Yeah.
So they can't really...
Messed up thoughts.
Yeah, so they can't really hold a job. So there you go. If your kids aren't holding a job, they're probably a psychopath.
But do not take advice from us because we're not therapists.
We're minors, so, like...
No, I'm not. I'm not. Don't do that. I'm 18. Thank you very much. Thank you very
She's
much.
She's 18, so we have yeah. one minor in it, okay? I'm 16.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe take advice from her. Not me, though.
Not me either. Like, I can't.
This is just basic knowledge, though. Like,
hmm.
It is a big red flag if your child is, like, obsessed with dead animals and can't hold a job. Probably should get him checked
can't
out.
Can't even get a 1 on his GPA in university. Got kicked out of military. Dysfunctional human being needs a therapist. It's very easy.
Yeah, probably he's just not thinking about his everyday life. He's just thinking about how he's gonna masturbate in front of men.
Corpse men.
Dead men. Yeah. So, like, get your child checked out. That's long story
mm-hmm.
short. Okay, so after he returned to Ohio, he still drank very heavily and was arrested a couple of times for drunk and disorderly conduct, which is just like doing inappropriate stuff while you're drunk. You get arrested for it. And his father, thinking that, you know, let's fix him, he sent him to his grandmother, hoping that she would affect him and let him have a little responsibility.
I don't know how.
Apparently, according to Jeff, or according to someone, I don't remember, Jeff was pretty attached to his grandmother, like, he loved her a lot.
Oh, makes sense.
So his father was just hoping, like, oh, maybe she
mm-hmm.
can fix him.
Mm-hmm.
But not send him to therapy. No, we're gonna send him to his grandmother. That helped for a while, but he still continued to drink, which led to a lot of police visits, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So she didn't really help, which is also a big red flag. He's still being irresponsible. He still can't, like, you know, maybe...
At this point, I just feel like Jeff... was failed because, I mean, beside the fact that he's a psychopath or a sociopath, rehab, help him, you know, not send him to get his grandmother. His grandmother, how will she help?
And maybe she could have helped him, but she didn't. So, like, maybe, like, send your child to therapy or something.
Or
like
rehab
that.
For...
We're talking about this topic a lot because,
It is... what made this story Jeff's story. And Jeff started out as a neglected child. At 4 years old, he had a brain surgery that majorly changed his life. And instead of his parents keeping up with a therapist or a neuroscientist or whatever, or a neuro, I don't know what they're called, the brain doctors, they decided to just like live life out and see what happens, which is not how it works. You see your child is dysfunctional, you see your child is going through alcoholism or being alcohol addicted, and instead of going to rehab or therapist or psychiatrist or anything like that, you just like, let's live life and see what happens.
Yeah,
it is that why the story is happening. That's why we're talking about it a lot.
But I mean, like, it was the 70s / 60s, so I don't really think they had a lot of, you know, education about that matter. So, but I think right now we you can fix your child. That's what I'm saying. Instead of neglecting them, just seek out help. It's exactly. Not normal.
Mm-hmm.
Don't wait it out. It's not a phase that he'll grow out of, which is actually the thing that the mother said in Chicago Med, one of the episodes.
Yeah.
She was like, he'll grow out of it. It's a phase. No, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Just check it out.
Exactly.
You can save millions of lives doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So he just kept on killing.
He's a serial killer. You get the idea.
Yeah, you get the idea. But on July 22nd, 1991, Jeff offered three men $100 to follow him to his apartment to drink and pose for nude pictures. 32-year-old Tracy Edwards agreed. When he entered Jeffrey's apartment, he noticed a very bad smell and boxes of HCl, which is just a chemical, if you don't know, on the floor. Jeff said it was for cleaning bricks, which is, I don't know if that's true or not. Like, do you clean bricks with HCl?
I have no clue.
Like, I don't think HCl
is
something.
I think HCl is like some sort of like bleach or something like that. So I don't know. I'm not really sure.
Like, it's a very rough chemical. How would you clean bricks with it? But I don't know. After some minor conversations, Jeff told Tracy to check out his tropical fish tank. And while Tracy was looking away, Jeff placed handcuffs on one of his wrists. Tracy said, "What's happening?" But Jeff managed to get one handcuff in and told him to get to the bed and pose for pics, you know, the new pics that he promised. Once inside, Tracy noticed nude pictures of men and a 57-gallon drum in the corner. Jeff then got a knife and brushed it, like, on Tracy's chest, and told Tracy how he intended to take nude pics of him. And to make Jeff happy, Tracy unbuttoned his shirt and said he would let him if he undid his handcuffs, which is very smart to do if you, God forbid, are put in this situation where you're like, yo, there's a psychopath next to you.
Mm-hmm.
Make them trust you, you know, just like the Bobby Joe Young case in one of my episodes. The girl just made him trust her, which is the reason why she is alive and well today.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely do that if you're in a situation like this. God forbid, though.
Yeah.
We're not wishing this upon anyone.
Exactly.
But I think that was a very smart thing that Tracy did.
Mm.
After saying that, Jeff turned his attention to the TV for a second and rocked back and forth and turned to him again and put his head on Tracy's chest and listened to his heart for a little bit, you know, because everyone does that.
Yeah, that's very notable.
Everyone does that. And with a knife pressed against Tracy's chest and told him he wanted to eat his heart.
He's not a cannibal, I don't think so, Yanni, but, you know.
Like, imagine being Tracy for a second.
Damn. I don't want to, but I mean, that's definitely fucking hard. I mean, I can't. When you can't imagine a situation, that means that it's just your brain can't even go to that extent. So the fact that Tracy was in the situation itself, or
True.
That other boy before him, I mean, at the beginning of the story,
Steven, yeah.
Yeah, that was just, that's sad and scary.
Like, I would be petrified. I would be shitting my pants.
Mm-hmm.
But Tracy's brave, and he handled the situation good, like, I think. Tracy freaked out, obviously, so he kept telling him he's his friend and he loved him. Like, he kept on calming him just down,
gaining his trust, basically.
Yeah, and later he asked to go to the bathroom. He then asked to go to the living room after he got out of the bathroom because it had air conditioning. Jeff accepted, and Tracy asked to go to the bathroom again. While standing up, he punched Jeff square in the face, knocking him out of balance, and ran to the door. Which is, can we have a moment to think how brave Tracy is being?
I feel like not a lot of people can gain their strength to do something like this because they're just so scared.
Yeah.
But at this moment, it's either you're gonna fight or you're gonna die. So I think fighting is a lot better, even if you're scared that they might kill you. In both cases, they might kill you, so you would want to fight, so maybe you'd have a chance to escape.
I like how Tracy is handling the situation. Like,
well, I mean, he's alive now, so that's how he's alive, you know. Jeffrey didn't get to kill him because he did what Jeff wanted.
I think this should be talked about more, like how people like Tracy and Lisa from Bobby Joe Long's episode, how they handle this situation.
It's not like there's a certain way to handle a situation, because we're not in it, so we can't say like you should do this.
True.
But at the same time, there is a sure way to like make your get yourself out is to fight, because if you don't, you're gonna die. So you'd rather fight so you'd have a chance to escape. If you didn't, you're just gonna die there.
Yeah. And so, around 11:30 p.m., Tracy found two officers in the street and told them about Jeff, and the officers noted the handcuffs on one of his wrists. And they agreed to help him and take a look at the apartment, which, thank God they did, because if they thought, like, oh, he's gay and he has handcuffs around his wrist, that means...
He must be crazy, man.
He must be crazy. And I'm just gonna be a homophobic and leave him die. So thank God these officers were actually sane.
Doing their job.
Yeah, doing their job. Not thinking that the suspect is a black man and leaving Tracy the Zodiac killer. No, in the Zodiac killer was literally crossing the street.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought the suspect was black. And they let him go. So thank God these officers did their job.
I love how we're thanking officers for doing the bare minimum.
The 60s or the 70s was a very fucked up era.
Yeah, definitely. Even though 100%.
Sometimes you wish you would live in it.
It's very romanticized. I don't. Yeah. I believe it's a horrible place to be in if you're not a white male. A white, straight, cis male. Basically, if you're anything other than that, you're so fucked in that era.
Even if you're a fucking woman,
mm-hmm.
just a woman living her life, just you're fucked.
Mm-hmm.
It's just fucked up, and I hope we got past it somehow. Like, there's still a lot of problems in this decade that we're living in.
Yeah, but I feel like we're obviously better now than
the 70s.
In the past, but hopefully it gets even better because it's not good enough.
Yeah. This is how me and Mariam ended racism, homophobia, and every fucking problem in one setting, okay? Don't be hateful.
Yeah.
Mind your damn business.
It's easier to be kind.
Yeah. Hashtag follow Mariam and Hogger's words. We just ended everything. Yes. When the trio arrived at apartment 213, a very cool apartment number, though. Like, I like the number. Jeff let them in. And while Tracy was explaining, like, oh, he did this and did that with the bedroom and everything, Jeff made no comment on anything, and also no comment on the handcuffs on Tracy's wrist. The officer noted the large knife and the Polaroid picture. The 74 Polaroid pictures of dismembered human bodies. Very bizarre thing to...
Disturbing. 100%.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's just standing there.
No, like, comment on anything.
He's not even scared.
Yeah, but he did try to attack the officers, the one that was holding the Polaroid pictures. But the officers obviously overpowered him and handcuffed him and pinned him to the ground. one of the officers called for backup while the other one was just like roaming around. He got to the kitchen, opened the refrigerator to reveal a head of a black man on the bottom shelf. While Jeff was pinned to the floor, he muffled, quote, "For what I did, I should be dead," end quote. And that's how they arrested him. But in a more detailed search of the apartment, they found several heads in the kitchen, a total of 7 skulls, some painted, some bleached, in the bedroom.
Damn.
Some blood. Yeah, this part is very gory, so like, yeah. Some blood dripping at the bottom of the fridge, and arm muscle in plastic bags in the freezer.
I mean, that's why the apartment smelled bad. Makes sense now.
With 2 bags of human organs and flesh stuck to the ice. They also found 2 skeletons, 2 full-on skeletons, like skeletons, hands, and 2 penises, a scalp, 3 torsos, dissolved in acid, and that's it. Thank God, that's it.
I mean, it's a lot, so that's it. Like, it's quite enough,
it's
man.
It's a lot. Like, just imagine.
Imagine just, like, 2 officers just randomly, like, coming up, like, someone coming up to you and saying, like, that man did that and that and that, but, like, in your mind, it may have been, like, a rape or, like, an attack or some sort of something that's normal.
Yeah, just
not
someone,
normal. Not normal.
Just someone being an asshole and you're just gonna arrest him.
Exactly.
End of story.
But you just go and you roam the apartment and see horrible, horrible, disturbing things. Skeletons and skulls and blood and, like, dissolved in acid. And it's just, you're just there to, like, to see what happened to that. To Tracy, that man that came up to you, but it turns out you're just discovering the lair of a serial killer. All alone, you're just
disturbing.
Alone at night. Yeah, exactly.
Disturbing. And opening the fucking refrigerator to see a man, a fucking head, staring at you.
Mm-hmm.
I would be traumatized.
And let's not forget about the 74 Polaroids of men,
just dismembered bodies
mm-hmm.
of men.
Mm-hmm.
Terrifying. I would be traumatized.
Mm-hmm.
The chief medical examiner stated, quote, what the fuck? Quote, it was more like a, like, dismantling someone's museum than an actual crime scene. So it was pretty neat, which was what I heard, that, like, being neat about things like this is also a very big red flag.
Also, being neat is what makes those serial killers not get caught at all.
Yeah. So that was how Jeffrey Dahmer finally got arrested.
Yes, that was.
Just the last time he would get arrested.
I mean, the fact that Tracy survived is crazy, because I bet he had to, like, he had a hard time after that, because, I mean, he did go through something very traumatizing,
yeah.
Especially that he was in the apartment while the officers were discovering all the disturbing stuff.
No, but, like, it's in a more detailed search of the apartment, so he was just, like, they arrested him.
He did see the 74 Polaroids, though, so.
He did.
Yeah.
I think he just,
I mean,
saw the head and the Polaroid pictures.
It's enough that Jeffrey pulled out a knife on him.
Yeah,
that was traumatizing enough, and the pictures, and I just, Tracy really did go through a lot, and, like, he's the only victim that survived from Jeffrey, so it's crazy to think that someone is that disturbing.
Yeah, I think the only reason he survived is that he thought this through, which is, thank God he did. So in 1994, Jeff left his cell to shower with Jesse Anderson and Christopher Scarver. Pretty weird name, if you ask me. They were left unsupervised for around, like, 20-ish minutes. And around 8:10 a.m., Jeff was found on the ground with extreme head wounds with a 20-inch or 51 centimeters metal bar. He was took to the hospital but died hours later. Jesse had also been beaten, but he died 2 days later. So, if you haven't figured that out, Christopher was the one that killed Jeff and Jesse, which I don't know what to think about it. Like,
a lot of like serial killers or stuff, or like rapists or pedophiles, when they go into jail, the most thing they're scared of, not even jail itself, is the people that want to take their own justice inside. Like, which honestly, and I don't really have a strong opinion about it, because I'm not gonna defend them, but at the same time, it is wrong to kill someone, but it's not someone normal. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, he's a serial killer. He killed 74 people. He deprived families of 74 human beings. So I can't really say, oh no, he's like, he Christopher is like,
we don't know if he took pictures of everyone.
Exactly. So I can't say, no, Christopher is like completely wrong. But at the same time, I think you can't take your own justice. But also, I'm not gonna judge him for doing what I would do.
Yeah. Like, would you kill a rapist if he was with you?
100% I would kill a rapist or a pedophile or a serial killer, because I feel like, not kill them, I don't know.
I would give them a lick. I feel like what you did is wrong.
Yeah, like, I want them to feel what they made their victims feel, but not by killing them, just like by making them understand like how painful it was for the victims and for the families. So
yeah, just make them understand.
I don't know how you would do that, but yeah, somehow
probably just scream at their face like, you, what you did is wrong. Don't do this. Probably that.
That's how good his British accent, by the way. Which, please tell her to stop do. What the fuck? Did I just say stop do? Stop doing.
Yeah. I'm never gonna stop doing the British accent. Yeah. Just saying.
It's very sexy.
I would get a boyfriend doing that. Do you think I would get a boyfriend doing that? No.
Questionable. It's quite questionable.
If you're like me, probably.
We already have an accent.
Yeah, English is not my first language.
It's not mine either.
So we do have an accent.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, a lot of people were, they think Christopher, what Christopher did was right. But a lot of people were saying like, oh, you killed someone. That shouldn't be right.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is, I don't know what to say about it. Because like this, at the same, like, what he did is wrong. Like, he shouldn't be killing people. But at the same time, Jeff was a horrible person.
Exactly.
So, like, did he do the word justice? Did he do the word a favor?
Somehow, he got out, and 100% he would do it again. So, I think he did do the world a favor, because back then, really, justice wasn't even a thing.
Yeah.
It was just like, let's get that person and throw them in jail and not help them at all be a better person to protect our society.
Chris, who is serving a life sentence for murder, actually, he attacked Jeff first. According to him, Jeff made no sound when he was
done. I was just gonna ask about that, because like, how did the guards not hear them for 20 minutes or like 30? Did you say 30 or 20?
20-ish, something like that.
How did the guards not hear them? Like, you know, Christopher killing two human beings. But apparently,
maybe they did, and it was just like, eh.
Guards are horrible.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
That's where, like, I'm like, maybe they did. I'm just like, yeah. He's just killing a rapist. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And when Chris was done attacking the duo, he went to the guard and told them, quote, God told me to do it. Jesse Anderson and Jeffrey Dahmer are dead, end quote. Terrifying main character moment.
I mean he's already serving a life sentence, might as well kill two people inside though, and make the world a better place without them.
Yeah, I don't know what Jesse Anderson is doing though. Like, what is he doing in jail?
Apparently, I don't know if he, like, if he was in there for like, I don't know, like something dumb, that would have been like wrong for Christopher to kill him. But if he was just as bad as Jeff, I get it. Honestly, like, I wouldn't do it personally, but I feel like people who kill, like, rapists or pedos or, like, very dangerous serial killers in jail are just doing the world a favor, because our justice is not good enough sometimes.
And maybe he did it from, like, personal experience. Like, maybe, like, someone he knows was raped or was, like, almost murdered or was murdered, so he did it out of, like, anger.
Or he's just a murderer.
Or he's just a murderer. That is also a possibility. Most people, though, are pleased by Jeff's death, but Chris was sentenced to additional terms of life imprisonment. According to... This is something, like, I like to do in the podcast, which is say, like, the last words or, like, last meals or something. But I didn't find the last meal, but I would guess it was just whatever he had. Jeff.
Oh, okay.
Of just whatever he had from the cafeteria in there, like, whatever shit they...
That day that he died, yeah.
Yeah, whatever shit they give you, like, breakfast, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But Jeff's last words, though... were, quote, "I don't care if I live or die, go ahead and kill me," end quote. And that was it. The cold-blooded murderer, Jeffrey Dahmer.
That was a disturbing story. Very gory. But it just... always... his carelessness shows you how much he's a made psychopath or a made serial killer. He wasn't born that way. He just feels like he has nothing else to live for. And the only thing he was living for was his thoughts and his urges to kill. Now that that's gone and he's in jail, he doesn't care to live or die anymore because his parents don't care about him. No one's gonna help him, for example, by like getting him a therapist or a psychiatrist or whatever. So he was just like, I don't care.
Let me die.
Yeah, exactly. Like a born serial killer, for example. Would be like, would want to get out of jail just to do that again. Like they would have like a good behavior. I mean, like a one that isn't like treated, obviously, because there's a bunch of psychopaths and sociopaths who are treated and they're living normally among society. They would just like want to have like good behavior in jail and stuff like that, so they can get out early and start killing again because this is just the urges that they have. But Jeff is just he's. Definitely made because of, you know, neglect and stuff like that. But that isn't sympathy towards him at all. He deserved the life sentence. He deprived a lot of families of important people in their life. So,
yeah, never murder is never the answer.
Exactly,
I think. But do you think it's true that in your lifetime you meet to like 1 to 10? Psychopaths or sociopaths? I've read this somewhere.
Like, I did too, but I don't think it's a like a true or false situation. I think it was a fact. I don't really remember, but yes, I do believe it because there's a lot of people that were born. They're called antisocial. It's 100%. It's a thing, and they're controlling it, and they're like taking care of themselves so they don't harm themselves or others. So 100%, I do believe it. We meet a lot of psycho or sociopaths, they just have it under control.
Yeah. Okay, so that was it for the story. Let's just jump into ramble time.
Ooh, I love ramble time. Okay, guys, ramble time.
Welcome to ramble time, where we just chill after this disgusting ass and storm.
Intense.
It was intense. The story was very intense.
So, let's talk about the Met Gala.
Yeah, the Met Gala. Very disappointing.
Okay, the thing is, I know it's been like a couple of, I don't know, a long time.
It's like, been like a couple of weeks.
We're a little bit late.
But
we really wanted to talk about it because the difference between 2019 and 2021. Because they didn't do, obviously they didn't do a Met Gala in 2020.
Because, you know, the pandemic.
Yeah. So the difference, oh my god. It is so disappointing this
it
year.
It is. I was really looking forward to it because I love the Met Gala, even though I like don't know shit about fashion. Just saying,
it's
I don't know shit about fashion.
The Met Gala isn't, you're not like supposed to know fashion to like love it.
Yeah,
you just are supposed to know the theme and know the people that follow the theme and love their outfits.
And just enjoy some bizarre outfits that surprisingly look
like,
pretty.
The Met Gala isn't like a VMA red carpet. It's very very like exotic and unique red carpet. So the fact that people showed up as if they're going to like a drinking fancy party, I don't know.
That's why I like it. It's very different and it's not just based on how you look is just like different. It's very like creative. It's just
like you're
for
not
people
supposed
to
be like a girly girl or like a manly man. You're just like supposed to look exotic and unique and different. And
that's why
I look forward to the Met Gala every year. And the fact that they didn't do one last year was a little bit sad. So when they decided to do one this year, I was very excited, especially for specific people like Kim Kardashian. She slayed a couple of Met Galas before, but
yeah.
This year, girl,
she was just like
she didn't try
at all. And I know the thing about Kim's look is that Kim and Kanye's look is that I know there is a reason behind it. Like there is a story, but I can't figure it out.
There is no story. She just said that she liked how she looked, because when she got criticism, I saw I think a post on Instagram saying that she doesn't care about the criticism because she likes how she looks, and she was very excited about the look. Which
I didn't know that she did a statement, because I don't really follow Kim's and like the Kardashians
either. I don't either, but I saw like from a news account.
Yeah.
So it was weird that she was happy with the
I thought she was saying a statement, honestly.
Because that's Kim Kardashian. Like, you think she'd come, like, all made up with the hair and the makeup, but she decided to, like, go all black. Like,
I still...
And where's the theme there? The theme was supposed to be, I think, something that represents the 50 states of America.
Yeah.
Of the United States. But where was the theme there?
Like, like...
No one followed the theme. That was disappointing. Like... A lot of people that were supposed to slay did not. Like, I was so excited for Kim and Kendall and Kylie. I don't think Kylie came, but Kendall, like, her dress was so pretty, but it was not Met Gala worthy, and it was not like after the theme. No one cared about the theme.
No one.
What was up with that?
Like, a lot of just, I don't know.
And the men all came in white and black suits.
Not original. Like, I mean, like,
except Shawn Mendes, though. Shawn Mendes, for me, he slayed, because I am in love with Shawn Mendes.
Yeah.
So he did slay. Didn't slay as much, but like, he does usually.
Didn't wear a suit.
Exactly. He did wear a suit, but it wasn't
not
like
basic.
A suit suit.
Yeah.
It was very, very unique to him, at least. Camila also kind of slayed. Nothing to do with this theme
at all.
But she was a little bit more exotic, like with the sports top and, you know, like the fancy bottom. So like it was kind of not matching, so that's why it made it more like a Met Gala worthy thing.
Yeah.
So I think Sean and Camila together also slayed. Hailey and Justin Bieber,
boring ass motherfuckers.
What did
they do? They look pretty. They look good, but not a Met Gala look.
Everyone in Met Gala looked pretty, but not Met Gala worthy. Because
yeah,
what
that's
were
the
you
problem.
Doing? A black dress and a black and white suit.
That's basic, okay? Like, where is the creativity?
I swear to God, half of the celebrities, I feel like all the celebrities, like the Met Gala called them the day before. They're like, you have to come to the Met Gala. So they all just brought random things.
I still think, though, that Kim's look had a meaning behind it. Maybe she was just saying, like, I'm sick of you guys expecting, like, a very bizarre look from me. I'm just gonna give you this fucking black-ass thing that she's wearing. She's, like, saying a statement, but I wouldn't know. I'm not inside Kim's head. But that's what I think she's trying to do. She's just, like, proving a point that just because she's an influencer and she's a big face doesn't mean she has to, like, dress all pretty. But I wouldn't know, though.
Rihanna and A$AP did not bother.
Yeah.
They literally did not bother. As I said, I feel like the Met Gala just called everyone the day before and were like, please come. Because even Rosie, I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing her name wrong.
From Blackpink.
Yeah, from Blackpink. My friend just told me that she got her outfit, like, she wore that outfit before. And she brought it to the Met Gala. Like, I understand you could wear an outfit twice or three times even, but...
I do that, but, like,
not to the Met Gala, like...
You are pretty rich, I would assume.
You're, like, from Blackpink.
You're Blackpink, the most famous band.
Exactly.
Like, one of the most famous bands, so, like, I wouldn't really think that you're...
And when A$AP took off his thing that he was wearing, underneath he was wearing a black and white suit.
Which is something that I hate when men do, when they wear the just basic ass black
suit. Like, it's not a James Bond premiere.
No.
It's the Met fucking gala.
We need the spice. A lot of people have, like, different opinions about Timothy's look, which I liked. It was different.
I like Timothy's look just because I like Timothy.
True. That's a very...
I feel like I'm defending Sean and Timothy because they're my favorites.
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like they're the only two that gave a little bit. Yeah. Because if you saw all the red carpets of men, obviously there was some exotic, like, different looks.
There's this guy that wore, like, a globe and... The arms, if and he, like, was cupped, like, himself, yeah, he would, like, create a globe.
Yeah.
And, like, when he, like, opened his arms.
And there were guys, too. So, like,
yeah,
they served. Where was the other ones?
Like, kind of weird, but, like, he did something.
Yeah, he served.
He didn't wear a suit.
I mean, he had nothing to do with the theme, but he served.
Yeah, he did something. He didn't wear a suit.
Most of them did not try this year at all.
Yeah.
And I feel very disappointed because, like, for example, Gigi's look. Like, I am in love with Gigi. She's
but what
such
is,
a cutie.
What is she wearing?
It was so boring.
So boring.
Like, the eyeshadow, the hair served. Slate. The dress, though?
Just not unique. We need that unique look. That's the Met Gala. Yeah, about. I and like I was very sad about Harry Styles not coming.
Did he? In 2019?
He did. He did
no
come
way.
In 2019.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, and, like, I was expecting him in 2020, but he didn't come, which is
There's
sad.
A lot of celebrities I was expecting to come. For example, Ariana Grande.
Ooh. Oh, my God, Ariana Grande did not come.
Yeah.
That's very sad.
I really wanted her to come.
Ooh. Me too.
Okay, some positives. Billie Eilish.
Billie fucking Eilish.
She gave
Slayed.
Everything. She's the only one that understood the assignment.
She did very much understood the assignment.
Like, just my God, the dress
A
was
plus.
Like the
A
dress
plus.
Was like 100 feet long. It was so pretty. It was pink. It was the first time she'd ever been in a dress, so she made it perfect.
A
and
plus.
Her hair, she was giving very much Marilyn
Monroe vibes,
yeah.
Which I loved because, like, when you think America, you think Marilyn Monroe.
She was
honestly.
Very gorgeous,
beautiful.
She slayed
I loved
that.
It.
She was on the theme.
A plus on the assignment.
Yeah, like,
just
I was
basically.
Excited for Ariana Grande because in 2019, she literally was perfect in 2019. Like,
yeah.
She followed the theme. She was gorgeous. She was glowing. This year, she did not come. I was very disappointed about that. I also very disappointed about Kendall and Kylie because they, in 2019, they were matching. So that was so cute.
The purple and
orange. Yeah, that was very cute. But this year, one of them didn't come and the other one that came.
She was naked.
Like, like, not in a judgy way, just that, like,
yeah.
She wasn't wearing anything that would, like, be Met Gala.
Yeah.
Exactly. Anyways, we're repeating ourselves here.
I like that Timothy wore Converse.
Yeah, that was
to
so
the Met
cool.
Gala. That
everyone
was so
like,
funny.
Everyone was mad, but not mad, but, like, they were like, what the fuck is he wearing?
His
but
choices. Honestly, it's cute.
This
like,
is
like
how
it.
The Met Gala is supposed to be. You're supposed to be, like, different and not follow rules.
True.
Everyone followed the rules this
the
day.
The weird thing is that the lady with, like, a bob, the blonde bob, you know, the one that, like, is responsible for everyone.
I know what you're talking about, but I don't remember what she looked like.
The person, she's the, like, the founder or, like, the, I don't know, the person that's just, like, responsible
oh,
for the Met Gala.
Yeah. I
the
get
thing
it.
Is,
mm-hmm.
People would like come to her. Yo, I'm wearing this. Can I come? And she would like, yeah, you're following the theme.
Mm.
But the thing is, like, how did these people, like Kim or like Rihanna and A$AP Rocky and all these people that were just like wearing basic ass shit,
mm-hmm.
How did they like go to her and they're like, yo, I'm wearing this. Can I come? And she said, okay. Like they're not following.
I didn't even know you were like. Supposed to consult?
No,
I
I've
know.
Heard that they consult. They will go to her and be like, "I'm wearing this because of this." Like,
weird, honestly.
And
this
she
year was very. I was very excited when the picture started to be posted.
Yeah.
But then I saw them and I was super disappointed. Me and my friends were super disappointed.
Me too. I was.
Except
so
for Billy. Billy was.
Billy,
oh my God! I was
and I
so
think
proud
Frank Ocean
Billy.
Was also pretty good.
I didn't see Frank's.
Frank.
I forgot
was wearing
to see
like,
it.
I don't remember, but like a black suit and a hat or something. Wait, and he was holding
Wait.
A baby and it was a robot. and I think it's different.
Oh, okay, yeah, I get it now.
Frank Ocean was kind of like different. I don't know how he followed the theme.
What's weird, most of them didn't.
Yeah.
I was only looking for something different.
How did Tim also follow the theme? Like, I think Sean did, because when I look at Sean...
Like a rock star, like an American rock star.
Yeah, like, I would think, you know, the sound from TikTok that goes like, America! I would think that when I look at Sean. So I think he followed the theme, kind of.
I feel like none of them followed the theme, so at this point, I was just looking for someone that was Met Gala worthy. I kind of forgot about the theme, because no one followed the theme, so I was like, whatever. So I was just looking for someone that's unique. Lily Reinhardt, though, she wore a flower from every state.
Ooh, that's kind of cool.
That she followed the theme and she looked gorgeous. Even though the dress was very basic, but she looked gorgeous. She looked glowing. She's very pretty.
Lily, honestly.
Yeah, she's very pretty. And the theme was followed, so check. Who was? Ooh, I was surprised that Zayn didn't come with Gigi. I was excited for Zayn. Even though like Zayn doesn't usually like come in something like super fancy, but like the robot arms that he did with Gigi, like he was wearing just a black and white suit but with the robot arms. It was so cool.
That's so cool.
Yeah, I loved it. And then he didn't come this year, but I guess one of them had to stay with the baby.
True. Guess they didn't find a babysitter.
Yeah.
Last minute. I'm talking a British accent. Okay, I'm gonna stop. I think the thing is with Zayn and why people are obsessing over him, and him and Gigi, is that they're very mysterious. Like, they're very private.
They're such a cute couple.
They are. And people are like, yo, you're so cute, we want more. And they're like, no, we're gonna keep it private. Which is, like, understandable. Okay, do whatever you want, I understand. I think that's why people are like obsessing over their relationship.
I love their relationship because it's private. It's not like they're putting it in everyone's faces, or like they're a certain way on Instagram and then behind the scenes they're another way. No, they just don't care to show like how perfect, quote unquote, perfect they are on Instagram.
Which is something
they just
we love.
Prefer to be perfect or whatever, yani.
But anyways, we are unfortunately gonna stop talking about this topic.
I could talk about the Met Gala for hours, because I was horribly disappointed this year. Anyways, so if you guys enjoyed us talking together today, we have a podcast together.
We have a surprise. We're gonna do a podcast together.
Yeah, that will come out. It's not out yet.
Yeah.
But it's gonna be just us chilling, laughing, and talking about subjects that I think teenagers would love to hear about. And not
or
only
old people. I don't care.
Okay. Not old people, just adults. She means adults.
Yeah.
Just like us just talking about subjects that we think is important to be talked about, but not like in a serious way, just like, you know,
just
funny
elongated
stuff. Yeah, because we usually have like this deep talks like at like 3 a.m that we think would be very interesting podcast material.
True. Very true. We're very entertaining, let me tell you.
With the British accent.
Very
expect,
entertaining.
Expect a lot of British accents.
Yeah, you should expect a lot of British accents.
So, see you then. We did not decide the name yet. But when we do, we'll let you guys know. We'll have an Instagram account and everything. And we're probably going to have a special little editor.
Yes, my sister, thank you very much. She's gonna edit all of her podcasts because I can't do both.
Maybe we'll feature some of her amazing music, like not her music, it's just edits of music that she has an Instagram and a TikTok account. You guys should go follow her.
Yeah,
her username is edits_vibe.
Yeah, she does like editing audios. So if you're an editor and you like to do edits, she has a good audio.
Yeah, she has
selection.
Really good like music, and she edits like, you know,
does normal
people.
Edits. Yeah,
celebrities.
Yeah, does normal edits. So definitely go check her out.
Basically, we plugged the hell out of her account. So you're welcome for that.
Yeah.
Anyways, when we decide the name and when it's coming out, we'll tell you guys. But hopefully, it'll be so fun.
and you guys
it will be announced next episode.
Yeah,
we would come out with a name. I think this is enough time to come out with a name and yeah. get started.
And hopefully I'll be in more Cold Blood episodes.
You definitely will be. I mm-hmm. had a lot of fun, and hopefully you did have a lot of fun.
I did. It was very fun to listen to disturbing stories
about serial
very killer. Fun, very fun time, you know.
Yeah. So if you liked Mariam, and if you didn't, what's wrong with you?
It's okay, it's okay. But if you liked us together,
we have our podcast.
We will have our podcast. Yeah. And if you liked us together, tune in to know when we're gonna release our podcast and what name it's gonna be, because it's gonna be a cute ass, sexy,
cool ass name. Name. Mm-hmm, not mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. the Met Gala. It's really gonna be unique.
Exactly.
So yeah, and you'll definitely be seeing more of Mariam on this podcast, because yeah, we had a lot of fun.
We did.
So I think that should be it for mm-hmm. Ramble Time. Yeah. And let us just jump into the outro.
Yes.
So that was it for episode 10, y'all. I hope you guys liked it. We talked about Jeffrey Dahmer, me and my best friend Mariam. And hope you guys liked it. Don't forget to rate and review the podcast on whatever you're listening to this, wherever you're listening to this. And stay slaying, stay safe, my cold-blooded kings and queens. And I'll see you in the next episode.
Bye, guys.
Bye, everybody.